The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at Life Streams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Well, I have the privilege today, as you can see on the screen behind me, the privilege of continuing our series entitled, Who Do You Think We Are? And my job this morning, it's an absolute privilege to be able to do this this morning, is to walk us through another great passage of Scripture in the book of Ephesians. We're specifically going to look at chapter 5, verses 7 through to 14. And it is my hope and prayer that as we do this today, that there'll be something in there for you as you look, as we together look into the Scriptures. Something in there that God will use to encourage you. Something in there that'll build you up, that'll help you live your kingdom life. And I guess as I preach today, I'm praying and believing and standing on these two truths. And the first truth comes from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, where it says, the word of God is alive and active. Amen. Sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. You know what? I'm praying that the word of God does that in us and to us today. The second truth that I'm standing on is from Isaiah 55, verse 11, where it says that God's word will not return empty or void, but will accomplish what he desires and will achieve the purposes for which he sent it. That's my prayer this morning as we open this great passage of Scripture. Amen. Well, I thought we'd do, maybe it's not that different, but just a little bit, something a little bit different this morning, and we'll read the passage in its entirety out loud together. Can we do that? Let's participate in this reading of God's Word this morning. Now, Ephesians 5, verse 7, it says this, therefore, do not be partners with them. Okay, pause. All right, because I need to say something really quickly there. When I was preparing this, I probably should have given that verse to David because it's very much linked and obviously is referring to, not only just referring to what David looked at last week, because it's also looking forward as well, but that is a link back to last week's message. But Paul builds on it. Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. Can we say that again? Live as children in the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. That's God's word for us this morning. Now, before we unpack it a little bit, I sit with the Scripture and things jump at me. And obviously this Scripture is to do with light, right? Light and darkness is a massive theme. And I'm just wondering this morning, do we have any Star Wars fans in the building? Yeah, we got a few, some Star Wars fans. You know, I'm a huge fan of Star Wars. So much so that when I was 3 years old, that was way back in 1978. Woo! Getting old. You know, my mum took me to the pictures. We used to call it the pictures. And not the movies. And we went to see the very first episode, which is actually the fourth episode. I've never really quite worked that out. But it's the fourth episode. And I was thinking during the week, who takes a 3-year-old to see Star Wars? Who does that? Well, my mum did. She's a cool mum. And the movie had such an impact on me that not long after, I fell out of my bunk bed. Okay? And when I did that, I mean, who lets a three-year-old sleep in a bunk bed? Mum, if you're listening, I love you. But I fell out of my bunk bed and I fractured my skull. And it was touch and go there for me for quite some time. I had swelling of the brain, and I believe they got out one of their drills and they drilled, and you can feel the holes where they drilled in the side of my head to relieve the pressure. My head was broken. Oh, I can see some of you thinking, ah, that explains a few things. I saw a lot of you do that. That's not fair. But they weren't sure if I was going to make it, and there was a huge possibility that I was going to be brain damaged as a result. And the doctors said to my mother and my father, you need to prepare for the worst. Woo! Can't imagine what that would have been like as a parent. But miraculously, because I'm standing here today, and I'm not that brain damaged, I pulled through. So much so that when I eventually came to, I grabbed, you know how they have oxygen masks? I grabbed the oxygen mask, so I came to, I guess I was in a, I don't even know whether I was in an induced coma or whatever, I just knocked out. But I pulled the oxygen mask off my face, and I said, right at that moment, I said, please get this Darth Vader mask off me. And when my mum heard me say this, she goes, oh, phew, he's okay. Now, I'm a huge fan of Star Wars. And I have a box full of old school vintage Star Wars figures. And I bought one with me today, R2-D2. And, you know, if you look under the bottom, it says there, 1997, made in Hong Kong. That's just one of my figures, probably worth a fair bit today. But I was a big fan. Now, many of you, what's this got to do with what we're talking about today? Well, many of you know that Star Wars is an epic battle between what? Dark and light. On the dark side, we have people like Darth Vader, and if you've watched the whole lot, there's all sorts of evil people on the dark side. But Darth Vader is on that dark side. And on the light side, we have what's known as the Force, led by Yoda, who is a master Jedi. So much of this box office smash hit, these movies, parallel the spiritual realm in which we live. And I'm sure that you're aware that our battle or our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the powers of what? This dark world. Church, believe it or not, there is an epic spiritual battle taking place right now. Right now. It's not against flesh and blood. It's between the dark side and it's between the light of God's kingdom. And it's why Paul, in today's passage, is simply encouraging us to be this, to be children of the light. If you don't remember anything else today, I don't want you to remember Star Wars and me fracturing my skull. I want you to remember that Paul is encouraging us to live as children of the light. Ephesians 5 verse 8 says exactly that. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. You know, some say, as you do your reading and as I was preparing for this message, that verse 8 is a very effective summary of the entire letter of the book of Ephesians. Some people believe that this verse is why Paul wrote this letter. Verse 8 does an incredible job of answering the question to our series, doesn't it? Who do you think we are? What's the answer? We are children of the light. I am a child of the light. That is who I am. That is who we are. You know, in this verse, Paul explains to us that we not only used to live in the darkness, but we were darkness. That's what it says there. we were on the dark side. But when the Spirit removed the veil, when the scales on our eyes fell off, and we were able to see the light of Jesus, and when we decided to follow Him, we moved from the kingdom of darkness into His wonderful kingdom of light. His light pushed out the darkness in our lives. And He rescued us from the dark side. In John chapter 8, verse 12, a pretty well-known scripture where it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, we not only live in the light, but we are the light, because our light is His light. You know, there's a little bit of jumping all over the place there. Let me say it again. We now not only live in the light, but we are the light, because our light is His light. And it's really important for us to know that. It's important for us to know that it's His light, not our light, because if we don't understand that, we might get all puffed up in our own importance. You know, it is His light. It's Christ in me. And it's because of what Christ has done that we need to live as children of the light. We need to let Him shine in us and also shine through us. So what does living as a child of the light look like? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen people, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of what? And into the wonderful what? Light, dark and light. We are a chosen people. We've been given new life, a new calling, a new nature, called out of darkness, praise God. And now we need to live as children of the light. Verse 9 says, for the fruit of the light consists in all what? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. In other words, those who live in the light are compassionate, are fair, and full of integrity. Or other people interpret it and would say that those who live in the light have godly character, have moral courage, and personal integrity. Just a couple of different interpretations of that verse. So I wonder, this morning, children of the light, if the fruit of a life lived in the light are those things that we've just read, let me ask you a couple of questions so that we can have a few moments just to reflect on where we're up to on our spiritual journey. Let's let the light of Christ shine into our lives. I wonder, the first thing, does goodness, compassion, and godly character shine in and through your life? It's worth thinking about. Compassion, godly character, goodness. What do you see? What do you see as you take a look into your life? Are they shining? Or is there a dark patch? A dark patch of maybe stinginess? Or a dark patch of malice, spite, or hatred? It's worth reflecting on. Children of the light. Spirit of God, I want to pray in this moment that if there is any hint of those things in our lives, please push them out. Lord, push out that darkness in Jesus' name. What about The next thing, righteousness, fairness, moral courage. What do you see as you take a look into your life? Do those things shine in and through your world? Or is there compromise? Is there injustice? Is there prejudice? Or is there racism? Spirit of God, if there's any hint of those things in my life, expose them. Expose them and push them out in the name of Jesus. How about truth and personal integrity? What do you see? Do they shine in and through your world? Or is there some dark stuff? Like falsehood, maybe some untruths or lies. What's going on there for you? Spirit of God, if there is any hint of those dark things in our life, we need you to help us. We need you to push them, push out that darkness. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, the light produces what is good, what is right, and what is true. But you know what? It doesn't just stop there on those three things. Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on to encourage us in verse 10. And verse 10 says, find out what pleases the Lord. You know, the Greek here for find out means to pursue or to chase after. Well, we've been singing about that this morning. It means to examine. It's almost like grab a rock and take a good look at it and try and find the precious things that are in there. Gold. Mine it. Search out and discover what pleases Him and do it, is what Paul is encouraging us to do. But you know what, children of the light, this will require intentional energy. This will require us to make a decision. And it will require us to be reliant on the Spirit. It will require us to be strong and wise and deliberate in our choices. Because kids of the light are constantly trying to discover, to mine, to pursue, to ascertain what the will of God is. In every situation, so that everything they do will do what? Please Him. Children of the light, Paul's simple encouragement is to discover what pleases Him and then run after it. Do it. We need to move on. Verse 11. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. You know, as I was thinking about those few verses. You know, it would be really easy for us to read those verses, and I've done this in my life. It'd be really easy for us to read those verses, to get onto our high horse and think, you know what? It is my job to expose everyone's sin. You know, I recently heard a great new take on an old cliche that's being bandied around at the moment. You know, our nation is is debating and throwing around all sorts of issues at the moment. And when we do that, we hear cliches from Christian people like, love the sinner and hate the sin. Who's heard that? Well, on social media, I read a smart person. He rebutted the cliche with love the sinner and hate my sin. I like that. Love the sinner and hate my sin. It's not our job to expose everyone else's sin. We have enough of our own to deal with, don't we? And you know, there's another danger here as we read these verses. And that other danger is that we could think that we're not to associate with the big bad world. Because it's shameful, it's corrupt, and it's immoral. So we set up our nice little Christian bubbles. Or, another way to put it is, we live under a bowl. You know? We live under a bowl. And, you know, sometimes, but it's not always called the church. More often, it's in our heads, isn't it? It's what we're thinking about. It's what's going on in here, in our hearts. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves with no life from under the bowl or outside in the world. Yes, we are to have absolutely nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. That's pretty clear in that scripture, hey? Really clear. I don't need to say much about that. We just need to do it. But we need to let the light do its work. Let me say that again. We need to let His light do His work. Remember, it's not about us. It's the work of the Spirit. It's what He does best. Christ shines His light into the darkness. And it's His light that illuminates. It's His light that exposes people's sin. And it's His light that wakes up the sleeper and they rise from the dead. And guess what? They find salvation. How awesome is that? It's His light. Furthermore, the crazy but really, really exciting thing is that God, in all of His abundant grace, has called us to be light as well. We are light too. We are kids of the light. And He's called us to live a good, right, and true life and to partner with Him in this epic battle against the dark side. If you read with me in Matthew 5, verses 14, it says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. That's where I got that from. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives what? Light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. What an awesome verse. Now, with that in mind, I want to land this message by telling you a little story. It's an excerpt from the book by Max Lucado called God Came Near. I call this little short story the parable of four candles. So, love you to come with me as I read you a story this morning. Let's go. A few nights ago, a peculiar thing happened. An electrical storm caused a blackout in our neighborhood. When the lights went out, I felt my way through the darkness into the storage closet where we keep the candles for nights like this. I took my match and I lit four of them. I was turning to leave with the large candle in my hand when I heard a voice. Now hold it right there. Who said that? I did. The voice was near my hand. Who are you? What are you? I'm a candle. I lifted up the candle to take a closer look. You won't believe what I saw. There was a tiny face in the wax, a moving, functioning, flesh-like face, full of expression and full of life. Don't take me out of here. What? I said, don't take me out of that room. What do you mean? I have to take you out. You're a candle. Your job is to give light. It's dark out there. But you can't take me out. I'm not ready, the candle explained with him, pleading with pleading eyes. I need more preparation. I couldn't believe my ears. More preparation? Yeah, I've decided I need to research this job of light giving so I won't go out and make a bunch of mistakes. You'd be surprised at how disordered the glow of an untrained candle can be. All right then, I said. You're not the only candle on the shelf. I'll blow you out and I'll take the others. But just as I got my cheeks full of air, I heard other voices. We aren't going either. I turned around and looked at the three other candles. You are candles, and your job is to light dark places. Well, that may be what you think, said the candle on the far left. You may think that we have to go, but you know what? I'm busy. I'm meditating on the importance of light. It's really, well, very enlightening. And you, other two, I asked, are you going to stay in here as well? A short, fat, purple candle with plump cheeks that reminded me of Santa Claus spoke up. I'm waiting to get my life all together. I'm not stable enough. And then the last candle had a female voice. I'm not going to do it. Very pleasant to the ear. I'd like to help, she explained. But lighting the darkness is not my gift. I'm a singer. I sing to other candles to encourage them to burn more brightly. She then began a rendition of This Little Light of Mine. The other three joined in, filling the storage room with singing. I took a step back and considered the absurdity of it all. Four perfectly healthy candles, singing to each other about light, but refusing to come out of the cupboard. As we finish this morning, I want to remind you of one of our themes for this year. One of our themes for 2016 is that on the screen, for us to pursue one. Remember these? You remember these? You remember what they represent? Remember what they mean? Remember what they're supposed to do when we see them? What do they represent? Zero, right? What are they supposed to remind us to do? Well, church, this morning, I'm here to say that they're supposed to remind us to get out of the cupboard. To live as children of the light. To simply pray, Lord, I would love to lead someone to Christ this year. Help me be attentive to your Spirit. And you've heard me pray this over you before. This is something that we would love for you to be praying constantly. Help me be attentive to your Spirit. Lead me to someone who is searching and open to the truth. Help me to shine your light, to be creative and courageous, and please give me the words to say. And you know, every time we encourage you to pursue one, I always say this. This can't be a guilt-driven pursuit. Amen? This needs to be a natural byproduct of us chasing after God, of us pursuing His Spirit, of us wanting to please Him because we love Him, and simply letting His light shine in and through us. You know, Church, I heard an awesome story during the week from one of our mums. Something that one of our mums has done, and I'm not sure, it's probably a spirit-led thing. But she decided that she was going to advertise free Bibles on Gumtree. And guess what? She has had several people ring her up, come round, have a conversation, and ask for a free Bible. How cool is that? How creative is that? That is so awesome. I want to pray for those people right now. Lord, shine. Shine your light into their souls. Push out the darkness in Jesus' name. I pray for every single person that has taken a Bible. I pray that they will find you and follow you in Jesus' name. You know, I reckon when we do this kind of thing, pleases Him. Don't you reckon? Pleases Him. It's because we're taking a risk. We're taking a step of faith. We're giving it a shot. You know, as a result of just praying this morning and some of the things that we've been praying through, David wants to let you know that we're going to pray tonight. We're going to come together. This is not advertised anywhere, but we just wanted to put it out. 6:30 tonight, we're going to come. We're going to pray into these things. We want to pray that people will come to know Jesus here at 6:30. The other cool thing that I want to let you know, so that you make a special effort, is to get here next week, because we've got several baptisms. Who loves a baptism? Come along and be built up and encouraged in your faith. There's nothing better than seeing someone being baptized. You know, church, this is who we are. We are children of the light. And you know what? Children of the light don't live under a bowl. Let's be a church that lets our light shine so bright that the world may see our good deeds and glorify our God who is in heaven. Amen. Thank you, church.